tidings round. Wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come. Oh, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The long, long night is past, the morning breaks at last, and hush the dreadful wail and fury of the blast, as o'er the golden hills the day advances fast. The Comforter has come. Yes, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Lo, the great King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells the song of triumph rings. The Comforter has come. Oh yes, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine, that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. Let's sing it. Oh, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.
Oh, hallelujah.
Sing till the echoes fly, hallelujah, above the vaulted sky.
Oh, glory.
And all, hallelujah, the saints above, hallelujah, to all below reply. In strains of endless love, the song that ne'er will die. The Comforter has come. Come on, let's sing it. Oh yes, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.
Hallelujah. This is one of the most beautiful songs that I heard the first time at the retreat this year. Now, I've never learned it, so I can't see it or good enough to sing it. But I can sure enjoy the feel of it. The Comforter has come.
Yes.
I said the Holy Ghost has come. The Holy Ghost has come. Hallelujah. And I'm here to worship God. I'm here to worship Him, and I already feel it. Woo! Somebody raise a hand and say, Holy Ghost, I want you to fill me this morning. I want you to saturate me.
Hallelujah.
I want you to saturate me. Holy God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to wait on you a minute until I hear you worship. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise. Oh, hallelujah. I want to sing that chorus two or three times when we get to it, Brother Joe. We got to get used to this song.
Hallelujah.
We got to get used to it. The Holy Ghost has come. And that's my text this morning. A little something different, but about the Holy Ghost singing.
Oh, yes, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost from heaven.
Hallelujah.
The Father's promise given.
God sing.
Oh, spread God the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh yes, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread tidings round.
Yes.
Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.
Get your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Remain standing. I wish y'all would take a mic with you, Brother Joe and Sister that. And at some point, I'm going to ask you just to hold the mics without any music and sing The Comforter Has Come. We might do it two or three times. The Comforter has come. I don't know about you, but I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 1954. 1954. 64 years ago and a few months. And I will never forget that night. It was in a tent, sawdust floor, sawdust place to kneel. Now, I'll never forget. Wonderful, wonderful. When I heard the Holy Ghost begin to use my lips to talk in another language, one that I did not even know, it was an overwhelming moment. I remember a few days later, maybe it was the next day, I was in a home where I was rooming. I was a roomer back then, rooming with one of the brothers and ladies in the church. And I remember him saying, or me saying, let's go pray tonight. I want that mighty Holy Ghost to move over my soul again. And we began to pray. It wasn't long till I heard the Holy Ghost talking. Hallelujah. Now, many people have not had a lot of experience in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I can tell you, if you haven't, you've missed a grand experience. I'll never forget something. I was up at Black Mountain, pastoring there, and a man that I was trying to reach for Christ, he was a real estate man, and he came to my house and said, I've met a mighty man of God up here in the Montreat area, and I just want you to go meet him. I said, okay. I'll go with you. I really didn't want to, but I wanted to help this man so bad that I thought going with him might be a blessing. Well, we went up into the Montreat area. That's right below the home of Billy Graham. And was in the area, found this big fancy home. Went in, and this man, oh, he was electric, came to the door. I'll never forget his dress, his suit, his flashy way. And he was full of devils like I had never known or felt in all my life. And immediately we go in the home, and he starts trying to hypnotize me. I mean, he is just coming at me like a storm. He looks at me and said, "Look me in the face. Quit turning your head." When he said that, the Holy Ghost came on me. He'd been ruling the show for about 5 minutes, maybe 10. It was time now for God to rule the show. And the Holy Ghost came upon me. And I heard the Holy Ghost coming. I had never heard that. I heard a language off in a distance, and it sounds so beautiful. And I could tell it was coming toward me. And all of a sudden, it hit me. It took hold of me. And I began to speak in a language that I didn't know, but I guarantee you, he knew it. And the Holy Ghost just moved over me. And then he began to try to point his finger. And he began to try to divert me. And I wouldn't let him. The Holy Ghost was in charge. And he took over. Then he began to tell me I was blaspheming God. And before the day's over, you're going to be in trouble. You're probably going to get killed. You're probably going to die. He just laid it on me. Well, the Holy Ghost was taking care of me. I remember all I said, but I remember saying plainly to him, "I don't have a thing to worry about. The Holy Ghost is in charge of my life." And you know what I did? He thought I was going to die that day. So I went down to the church, got me a 20-some foot ladder, and climbed up in the front peak of the church. I said, "I'm up here to prove that God's in charge. And that man can't hurt a man of God." Hell, I'll never forget it. You can imagine, it was quite an experience. Well, I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost is a person that can take over your life and you'll never be the same again. Now, I want to go to the book of Genesis. I'm preaching this morning on the Trinity and Holy Ghost conviction. Holy Ghost conviction. The Trinity. And Holy Ghost conviction. Now listen carefully. I'm fixing to let you be seated. Just a moment. Well, let me read these three verses. I'll let you be seated if you promise you'll keep your Bible in your hand and you won't divert your attention. Please, do not divert your attention. I want you to hear what the Lord says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Heavenly Father, grant wisdom to your servant that I speak nothing of what the Holy Ghost would speak. And grant wisdom to the hearers of every person in this sanctuary. Don't let a person miss the truth of this message. It will change our life, Father. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Now please, listen carefully to Brother Chambers. The Trinity of God is the greatest principle in your Bible. The Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I will show you that Trinity in these first three verses. And then I want you to understand that the Trinity of God is a principle that goes all the way through the Bible to Revelation 22. It's a principle that governs every major event. It's a principle that governs every truth. It's a principle that possesses your Bible. Now, I know there's a doctrine out there that God is three manifestations, but one person. We believe that the truth is God is three persons, but one God. The Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, look at your text. In the beginning, God. That word God is the word Elohim. I didn't say it just right. Somebody help me. Elohim. Thank you, Brother Joe. I missed that little part. I knew I did. Elohim, which is a plural word. It means at least more than one person. So, in the beginning, the Trinity. Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, notice the next verse. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And notice. And the Spirit of God moved. Now that word moved means in the Hebrew, brooded. Brooded. The Spirit of God brooded. Now get the picture. There is nothing but chaos. There is nothing but emptiness. There is nothing but brokenness. An empty world. But the Holy Ghost moves upon that empty world and covers it with his blanket of his presence, covers it with the aura of his greatness and the sovereignty of his omnipotent power. I mean, literally covers it. And then God speaks and says, so beautiful. God speaks and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now notice the three movements. Notice the three movements. First there was brokenness, nothingness. Then there was a power that embodied and covered that nothingness. And then there was a proclamation by God, let there be light. And there was light. I want to show you the principle in the Bible that brings great conviction. That brings the great declaration of God's great power. First, there must be brokenness. You see that in verse 2. Then there must be a movement of power. Of great power. Of great anointing. And then there must be a proclamation. Let there be light. And there was light. And as I've studied the Bible, the last 3 weeks I think it's been, and I've been praying, God, I've got to see how to have conviction again. We've got to somehow bring conviction back to the church. Men are not getting saved in the great proclamation as they ought to be. The church world is dying. Churches are fading. Fading. How do we have conviction? Well, there's got to be first humility, brokenness, a sense of emptiness. Then there's got to be the brooding presence of God's Holy Ghost. And then there's got to be a proclamation. And that truth, a trinity of truth, goes all the way through the Bible. And it's thrilling to behold it, to listen to it, to feel it, and to hear it. So this morning, do we want conviction on our world that makes sin as dark as sin really is? How do we have conviction? It starts with brokenness. It starts with a sense of nothingness. It starts with a sense of how incompetent and incapable we are. It starts with a sense of total destruction. But then it moves to mighty power. Mighty power. God cannot visit anything but human brokenness. God cannot visit anything but a contrite spirit. God cannot visit anything but humility. God cannot visit. But once there is a sense of nothingness, and then there is a movement of God, then there's a going forth of proclamation. A going forth of proclamation. That's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on, with all that's in me, to be so broken, to be so humbled, to be so helpless, and to understand it, and for you to understand it, until there's power. And then power will bring proclamation. Now, let me take you to a simple story in the Old Testament. You remember Joshua? When he arrived in the Promised Land, and the first real challenge was Jericho. And he come face to face with this city that was surrounded with walls. It was impenetrable. There was no way for men in their flesh to do anything. And what did God say? He said, go over to that city. And for 7 days, you march around that city and you don't make a sound. Total human helplessness. They could not take that city. They knew that. So they march around the city in a sense of their helplessness. Nobody makes a sound. Nobody says anything. But then the moment comes for power. And when the moment comes for power, God says, have the trumpeters to stand up and start blowing the trumpets. And when the trumpeters start blowing their trumpets, you start shouting. And when you start shouting, after they blow the trumpets, the walls are going to start falling. The walls are going to come down. They didn't fall outside on the children of Israel. They fell inside on the inhabitants of the city. Then God said, you tell the people to stand up and march into the city. And so you have the same Trinity again. You have a sense of helplessness, a sense of emptiness. Then you have a sense of power. And then you march into the enemy's territory and take it. Oh, listen to me. That's the principle we've got to learn this morning. We've got to learn greatness starts with nothingness. Greatness starts with emptiness. Greatness starts with brokenness. Greatness starts when you understand how incompetent and impossible the task is. When you know that you cannot. I've got to know that Joe Chambers cannot shake Charlotte. Joe Chambers cannot turn this city upside down in a Holy Ghost revival. This city is full of wickedness and sin. We're killing babies by the thousands. We've got same-sex marriage all over the city. We got thousands of couples that live together without the benefit of marriage. We got divorce that is escalating like a storm. Our city is desperate, and I don't have anything to change it. So what I've got to do is stay right here. I got to stay right here. Sense of emptiness. I look at this city and I weep, Brother Joe. I look at this city and my heart just breaks inside. I read the reports. Did you read other day at 7 something in the morning? A 16-year-old young man took a gun and killed another 16-year-old student in the very presence, in the very school where they attend, right here in Mecklenburg County. Did you read that? I said, it's going to hell. I can't change a thing. If I could change this city, I would. I can't. But I can tell you what I can do. I can accept my emptiness, and I can accept my helplessness, and I can humble myself and say, Joe Chambers, don't have any power, but I'm going to wait on the God that does. Hallelujah. I'm going to wait on the God that has power to change everything. I'm going to wait on the God who's full of greatness and authority, and all of a sudden it's coming. Woo! All of a sudden it's coming. If we wait, I may need some more help before the waiting is complete. We may need some more of you men to get off your duffs and get in here with us. You may need to sacrifice some time and some things. But when we are broken, when we are broken utterly and at the point of God's acceptance, God will take over. Somebody help me if you believe God will take over. Somebody let me see your hand if you believe God will take over. How many of you believe God will take over? How many of you are waiting with Brother Chambers for God to take over? How many of you will admit that you can't change nothing about this city? I love what you try to do, Brother Dylan. I love Shake the City. I love the events when you have a sleepover. But I'm here to tell you, and you got to understand it, we can't do it in our flesh. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to become broken and contrite until God looks at us and says, now I've got them in my shape to do something with them. At the right moment, God's going to look at Paul Creek, Brother Chambers, Brother Marlin, Brother Joe, Brother Dylan, another Brother Joe, Brother Buck, Bob. Oh, they said, well, not here this morning, but God's going to look over there, Brother Carlos, and God's going to say, I got them ready. They know now they're helpless. How many know you're helpless to change this city? Let me see your hand. I got to see your hand. I want you to do more than that. I want you to stand. If you know you're helpless to change this city. If you know you're helpless to save your loved ones. If you know you're helpless to turn this city upside down. If you know the possibility of seeing a Holy Ghost revival in this city is not in your capacity. You don't have it in your cup. It's not in your pot. We don't have it. I don't have it. Marlon don't have it. Nobody in you has it. But if we can let our God know that we're willing to die on that altar, willing to die on that altar, willing to stay on that altar until my flesh turns to emptiness and nothingness. If I have to go to heaven kneeling at that altar and be taken from here there, that's okay with me. But I'm staying there until God sees my nothingness, until God sees my emptiness, when God sees my impossibility. And then God, I said, and then God. Somebody say, and then God. And then who? God. That's how it happens every time. I gotta hurry. You may be seated. I got a long ways to go. I ought at some point slip over past some things. Go with me to the book of St. John, chapter 17. I'm sorry, 16. The book of St. John, chapter 16. Listen to this, verse 7. Nevertheless, have you got it in your Bible? St. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. It is expedient for you that I go away. For the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now you hear me. You've already been convinced. I think I've tried that you have nothing. You can't change this city. You can't bring sinners in those doors. You can't bring your loved ones out of the stocks and bonds of wickedness and careless living. You can't see a change. But it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go to the Father, I will send him unto you. Sing it. The Comforter has come. Come on, quickly. Just one time, the chorus.
The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.
I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove Charlotte of sin. He will reprove Charlotte of sin. That's what he said. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and Charlotte is part of the world. And of righteousness and of judgment. I'm here to tell you, they can sing their rock and roll songs in church houses until they turn purple. They can play their music. They can cut on their many lights. They can darken the sanctuary. They can have music. They can have all kinds of words, all kinds of things that men do and say and create a false Pentecost. But it will never change the communities where it's at. The Comforter has come. We don't need the rock music. The Comforter has come. We don't need their lights flashing in the house of God. The Comforter has come. We don't need the psychology of psychological voices. The Comforter has come. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. I got a message for you. When the Holy Ghost begins to move across Charlotte, you'll find old wicked, godless men and women who suddenly begin to tremble all over themselves. You'll find them begin to break. I didn't know sin was so ugly, they may say. I didn't know I was such a rotten character, they may say. I didn't know my adultery was such an offense against God, they may say. But I'm here to tell you, when the Holy Ghost begins to move, sin will become exceedingly sinful. And that's when the change starts. I will prove the world of sin. But he doesn't stop there. He said, I will reprove the world of righteousness. Suddenly people who love the world, who love their drugs and their alcohol, who love their smoke and all their wicked living, suddenly it will all look so empty. It will all be so void of any meaning. And as the Lord begins to reveal righteousness unto those who have first understood sin, it'll make a difference. But I'm trying to hurry. But third, notice the Trinity now. You notice this is a Trinity. Sin, righteousness, judgment. See, everything you find in this Bible will follow the pattern of the triune God is. He's sovereign. He's sovereign over every bit of it. Are you hearing me? He's sovereign over every bit of it. And so as the Holy Ghost begins to move, judgment will begin to shine. The fires of hell will suddenly become a consciousness over the community. And people will not only see their sins, they'll not only know that there's a righteous way to live, but they'll suddenly see that judgment is hanging over their head. I look at the Facebook. You can see every bit of personality there is in people that have a Facebook. I mean, sometimes looking at the personalities, Brother Joe, I don't look so much at what they say. I look at what's behind what they say. I look at the very appearance. I look at everything they seem to be so glorified in. And everything is so exciting and so wonderful to them. And I can see how the conviction of sin has disappeared from this culture and this generation. We don't understand sin. We don't understand righteousness. And we don't understand judgment. I'm talking of the world. But when the Holy Ghost has come, did you hear what I said? You claim to be a Pentecostal church and there's no conviction. You ain't no Pentecostal church. We can claim all the Pentecost we want to claim, but until the Holy Ghost is moving in our midst and sin becomes exceeding sinful and righteousness becomes beautiful and lovely and the judgment is hanging over people's head, then you know Pentecost has come. A Trinity. You'll find it all through the Bible. Everywhere you see God at work, you see this pattern. Brokenness. A mighty move of power. And then a mighty proclamation of truth. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, church, if we'll get broken, and we'll stay on our faces with brokenness, and we'll let ourselves become absolutely helpless, we will admit our helplessness. How many of you will admit you're helpless to save this city? You're helpless to change your loved ones. You're helpless to change. I'm not sure. But this week, and he's been coming some, and he sent me back and said, oh, I love you folks. I love you folks. I love you folks. He hadn't been to church in, 6 weeks? 8 weeks? He really does love us. What does he need? Us? No. He needs something bigger than us. He needs a Holy Ghost conviction moving in this place. He needs a Holy Ghost conviction moving in this place. I'm here to tell you, Joe Chambers can preach till I fall in this floor and go to heaven. But it won't bring what we need until the Holy Ghost does it. God's Holy Ghost has got to do it. God's Holy Ghost has got to do it. Now, go quickly with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me show you something there. Then we'll go to our last verses of Scripture. Please be patient with me. I will not be much over time. Maybe a little. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to keep you understanding about this Trinity. The Trinity and Holy Ghost conviction. I said the Trinity and Holy Ghost conviction. Say that with me, would you? I want everybody to say it. All right, now go to 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Well, let's read 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Notice that. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You can have a church full of Jesus loving, absolutely sanctified and surrendered people without a moving of the Holy Ghost. You can't even say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? I'm not talking about what you say with your mouth. I'm talking about what you say with your heart. We have Sunday mornings here when I'll have you to declare that Jesus is Lord. And you'll do it. And you want him to be back for church on Sunday night. He ain't Lord. You're the Lord. You're running the show. You're in charge. I'll do what's comfortable for me to do. But he said, you can't say he is Lord. Whoo, I'm about to get on somebody's nerves, I know. I want to get off your nerves and get on your toes is what I want to do. Stick them out here. Let me get on your toes. Listen to me now. Listen to me, church. You got to hear me. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Sing that again, will you? The Comforter has come.
The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven.
Holy Ghost from
the
heaven.
Father's promise give.
Hallelujah.
Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has
come. Now would you say it with me? The Comforter has come. Hallelujah. And listen now what he says. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. What's he talking about when he says the same Spirit? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. But let's see the Trinity. Look at the very next verse. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Who is the Lord? Jesus Christ. So there's the Father, there's the Holy Ghost, there is the Lord. But look at the next verse. And the diversities of operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now there is an introduction to the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. And in the introduction is the Trinity of God. The Spirit and the Lord and the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching on the Trinity and the Spirit of conviction. And the Holy Ghost of conviction. I want you to see that. Now go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. And I will have my last text. And don't be in a hurry. Let's take time to get it. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, we have 120. Listen at me. Look at me. Got your Bible open. We have 120 that are in an upper room. They're in an upper room. Apparently, they haven't left there for 10 days. Remember what Jesus said in Luke? When he said, tarry ye until the Holy Ghost comes. Don't leave Jerusalem. Stay right here and tarry until the Holy Ghost comes. Now, why would Jesus take 120 of his best disciples? The very best he had. The most godly women this world has ever seen. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary Magdalene. Mary Salome. And saint after saint. There's Peter. And there's James. The best he's got. And he appoints them 10 days to tarry in an upper room praying. What was he trying to do? He was trying to break every bit of the flesh out of them. He was trying to see them sanctified until there was perfect harmony in all 120. When all of their divisiveness, all of their mouthiness, all of their gossip, all of the, you remember when two of them had said, or the mother of two of them had said to Jesus, I want my two sons to be on your right hand and your left. You can't get more carnal than that. It was a carnal bunch of wonderful disciples. It was a bunch of the best that heaven had. Jesus had chosen them personally, and they were really special folks. But they needed to be cleaned up. They needed to be sanctified. They needed to get flesh out of their mind, out of their thoughts, out of their pride, out of their haughtiness. They needed to be broken in 10 days. Oh, I'd love to have been there. Maybe I would have got really sanctified if I'd have been there. And I can just imagine 10 days. They are praying. They're squalling. They've confessed things that they saw wrong in their life. I mean, 10 days. Peter had said to James, "Will you please forgive me? Because I've been so aggravated at you." And then another one say, "Would you please forgive me? I have not been very kind to you." And 120 had been in that place together until the Bible said they was in one place, in one mind, and one accord. Anybody like to see that happen at Paul Creek? I'll tell you what let's do. Let's start with you and me. I'm ready to die. Oh, I'm not ready to die physically. I want to see a Holy Ghost revival, and then I'm ready to go, Brother Charles. If I can just see a Holy Ghost revival and thousands getting saved right in the middle of it, I'm going to say, time to heaven to go, and call the Lord to please let me go. Hallelujah. But I first want to see a Holy Ghost breaking. I want 120 of us to be cleaned up of self. Sanctify my old flesh, Lord. Raise your hand if you can say that. Sanctify my old flesh, Lord. I've been so haughty. Say it if you've been haughty. I've been so prideful. I've been stubborn. I've been hard-headed. I've been doing my own thing. Lord, clean me up. Make me a dedicated part of this crowd. And finally, on the day of Pentecost, they had arrived at the pinnacle of holiness and purity. Everything was gone of self. They were cleaned up. They'd been through the valley of despair. They'd repented of everything they could imagine. They'd probably repented of some things they weren't even guilty of. Do you ever do that? How many of you go to the altar and you're so concerned you start repenting over things you don't even know what they are? I've been doing that. I've been doing that, Charles. I want to die. I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. I want to be able to say with Paul, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Do you know that verse? That's what I want to happen to every one of us. I want us to die in the physical sense, in the carnal sense, in the selfish sense. I want all of the selfish dead. I want all the selfish dead. I want all the carnality in us dead. I want it all gone, because I got news for you. When the day of Pentecost arrives for us, I'm not talking about their day, I'm talking about our day, when we have reached the point, hallelujah, that we're there. It's coming, Hosea. It's coming. I said, it's a coming. Are you listening to me? It's a coming. Got to first die, and then power. And 120 were speaking in tongues at the same time. 120, the Holy Ghost was brooding over them. Just like it happened in Genesis 1. The Holy Ghost, that's what Pentecost is. The brooding presence of the Holy Ghost covering a bunch of sanctified vessels. That's all Pentecost is. The brooding, it's so called a cover. Oh, sir, I don't know what you're feeling, but I know what I'm feeling. Hallelujah. It's real. I said it's real. There's got to be brokenness. And then there's got to be power. You let God take care of the power. You won't need lights flashing. You won't need rock and roll drums. I love drums. I love them. They got to be played right. And my people play them right, or I'd be over there saying, "Hey, look, slow them things down." Wouldn't I, Sister Phoebe's brother, wherever he's at, my drummer. I'm telling you. Power. But I want you to look. See, 10 days of brokenness, one day of power. Now, proclamation. Old Peter, rascal he was, just a few days earlier, he denied the Lord. If I'd have been there, I'd want to take a brush broom to him for denying Jesus Christ. But Jesus knew the whole story. I would only know part of the story. And Peter stood up to preach. And Peter preached, brother. See, there'd been brokenness. There was now power. And then this proclamation. Now you read the book of Acts and you find it over and over and over. That's got to first be brokenness. Apostle Paul had to spend days to get his haughty hide sanctified. You say, why did Paul have to spend 7 years somewhere hid away? I'll tell you why. Because he was a haughty man. He was a learned man. He could speak 5 languages. He was one learned man. But God had to strip him until all was left was sanctified Paul. And then all heaven broke through with power and glory. And the word went forth with all authority. And one day, how many can hold up 3 fingers? 3 fingers, 3,000 saved in one day because of a bunch of broken disciples, because of a bunch of humbled and humility saturated lady folks. The whole crowd had come to surrender and devotion, and 3,000 came to Christ. I'm here to tell you, it cannot be stopped. It's impossible if a church will follow this pattern. I preach to you this morning, the Holy Ghost has made plain to me, there will be no stopping that church. There will be no stopping that revival. There will be no stopping the harvest of souls. But you got to get broken. You got to see power. And then the proclamation of the word with authority. And then here comes the sinners to Christ. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. I want you to stand. Sing it. Please sing.
The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost from heaven.
Hallelujah.
The Father's promise give.
Hallelujah.
Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.
Now let's start at the beginning. How many of you know there's a need of a harvest? And you know that you don't have the capacity. I got people sitting all over this building. You got loved ones that's been saved for years. Saved, backslid, lost for years. You know hundreds and hundreds of people that need God. And you prayed and you tried and nothing has happened. God's waiting for you with your pastor to come to the point of complete self-aggrandizement, self-conviction, I'm sorry, self-surrender. I want to stand in front of you this morning and I want to tell you that Joe Chambers is on this altar for you and your family. Joe Chambers is on this altar for us in our city. And I am nothing. I am nothing. But if God can have me completely under his possession, he'll take care of the next step. The first step is mine. I surrender. That's all I know how to say it. I surrender. I'm sick of my children going to hell. I'm sick of loved ones that I know by the scads, backslid, lost. I want to see them saved. I've wept and cried this week long with all I know how to cry. I've sobbed at times when I thought my inside was going to explode. God, can I sob any farther, any longer? Yes, son, until you really get completely broken. Yes, son, until you're on the altar. Then I'll take the next step for you. And I'll come with power. I'll come with power. How many believe when you're on the altar utterly, he'll come with power? And how many of you will quit claiming something you ain't got? You claim power, you don't have it. If you did, you'd be turning people upside down. The same can be said of me. Raise your hand and just believe the Holy Ghost now to talk to us. Holy Ghost, help us. Father, I've been crying out for this conviction that I know we are desperate for. I can name so many that need conviction until they get in these altars and get right with God.
I love him so much.
I believe.
More than I did then. And I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and trial. And there's a shoulder that I lean upon as I face another mile. And there's a love that I can depend on, and it's fresh and new each day. And with love my heart is overflowing. That is why I say that I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
Would you stand and sing it?
It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with him over and over. Over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
Just a moment. I want him to sing that last verse again before I preach.